I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Batter up.
Listeners, welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 181 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Zurevich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
The Mets took 2 out of 3 from the Marlins since we last recorded, but then got 4 games swept by the Philadelphia Phillies in very like stereotypical like Mets-Phillies type games, all of them. Pretty much.
But they usually beat the Phillies, which is annoying. Even when they're bad, they still beat the Phillies. And they couldn't even do that.
I know.
Like they salvage something. Throw me a freaking bone here, people.
They have kind of owned the Phillies the past few years, but this was clearly an exception to that. And they had actually, you know, the Mets had actually been doing okay during this month until that, for the most part. I mean, they weren't, you know, lighting the world on fire or anything. But there were, you know, reasons to be optimistic. Obviously, there remain a couple of good things. The baby Mets continue to do cool things, especially Ronnie Mauricio is having like really hot couple weeks. So is Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos is like a dollars for dingers king right now. I think he has 5 homers this month.
Wow.
He's killing it.
Yeah. So, you know, baby Mets doing a good job is like really positive. And up until this Philly series, like, we were talking about the starting pitching, the back end of the rotation in, you know, Jose Buto, Joey Lucchese, David Peterson, and Tyler McGill had been pitching very well. Well, the starting pitching was not so good during the Philly series, nor was the relief pitching. Basically, the pitching was bad. The hitting was fine. They lost a bunch of close games, like 7-5 and things like that, because the pitching was bad. So, you know.
But Pete's back into a slump, and it's upsetting.
Oh. It is deeply upsetting. During like, dollars for dingers,
I know,
Pete, really?
Pete, the worst time. Why?
You have one job, Pete.
Pete, well, yeah. 2,
and one of them is vibes, and you're still doing really good on it. So thank you, Pete. Thank you for the vibes.
always good vibes. Yeah, there's really not much to say about the Mets right now. Like, that Philly series was very, very annoying, as the way these games often are, even when the Mets win them. The Mets-Phillies games are always chaotic, and this was no exception. There was a lot of shoddy defense on both sides, and they were just, like, ugly games, and the Phillies won all of them, and I don't really want to talk about that.
But at least they kind of, like, gave the Marlins what Marlins usually do to us.
It's true.
So that, like, was a positive.
Got to play spoiler to the Marlins a little bit, because the Marlins are still in the race. And, you know, Lord knows the Marlins have done that to us in the past. But yeah, it's sad that we're at the stage where all the Mets can do is play spoiler to other teams.
That role reversal was kind of, I don't want to say fun, but at least the Marlins got a taste of what they did to us in 2005.
Yeah.
They'll never really know, though.
No, they won't. They won't. There'll be no comparison. But it's just that little, you know, like, when you're eating something, you're like, that little, like, heat in the back of your throat, that was us.
I like that metaphor. That's good.
Like, where you need a sip of water, like, you're like, oh, what happened there? Yeah, oof. That was us this year.
Yeah. So the only, like, real roster news of note to report on is that Anthony Kay is back with the Mets and was recalled for AAA Syracuse. Yeah.
Okay.
Because of course.
Because why not?
Hashtag why not?
Hashtag why not? Hashtag I'm blocked by his brother on Twitter for some reason.
Are we sure like they aren't just trolling us at this point?
I don't know.
I mean, they needed somebody to throw, and they found... Right, I did see someone on Twitter was complaining that, like, it was a sign of bad process that they traded him away when it looked like he might be good, and then was bringing him back now that they knew he wasn't. But I kind of feel like, isn't that the whole... Isn't that the point? Don't you want to trade someone away?
Yeah.
You know, at the peak of their value? But in any case, I mean, having an opinion about this seems gauche.
Yes. Like, yeah, they traded him and he was bad, and they got actually got a decent return for him, and now they have him back for free. So like they won the trade. Like that's good, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean I personally don't care, but the people arguing that this is like any evidence of bad process are just simply wrong. Sure. Anthony Kay, welcome back. But yeah, this is not going to be a very Mets heavy podcast because there's not much to talk about regarding the Mets.
Not a very Mets heavy life right now.
Not a very Mets heavy life.
No, we're just waiting for it to be over pretty much.
Yeah.
The end is near.
But you know, the main reason, at least for us, and hopefully for listeners of this podcast, to watch September Mets baseball has been Dollars for Dingers. And our raffle event is on Saturday. So we are officially nearing the day of the raffle event. We're very excited about it. If you've been paying attention to our social media at all, we've been teasing prizes all week, and we will continue to do so up until the day of the event. If you are a Patreon supporter of this podcast, you get perks the day of the event. You have automatic entry for each of our premium raffle prizes, the signed baseballs by Starling Marte and four members of the Rumble Ponies, and the Home Run Apple Neon from Athlete Logos. Three really great prizes. I mean, it's really like six great prizes since there are four Rumble Ponies balls, but we're going to do one drawing for all four and just pick four winners. But one of those four winners will be drawn exclusively from the pot of Patreon supporters. So if you are a patron, then you already have one ticket in all of these and improved odds for one of them. But obviously, if you want to buy more tickets, we are not going to say no to that. So yeah, and if you can still become a patron, if you become a patron by the time of the event on Saturday or like 11:59 p.m. on Friday,
midnight on Friday, we will not be processing any perks or last minute online raffle purchases during setup time on Saturday. We need that time to get everything perfect for y'all. But midnight on Friday,
exactly. Yes. If you are a patron by that time, you will get the perks. You will be automatically entered into each of the premium prizes, et cetera, et cetera.
And all the usual Patreon goodies also, or Discord, various other bits and pieces. So
yes.
All the more reason.
Yes. Exclusive, pods. Yeah. Access to our Discord, which is hopping. We love chatting on the Discord. And yeah, all the fun perks, you get that as well, obviously, with your support. So yeah, there is also the opportunity, patron or not, to purchase raffle tickets for either the Home Run Apple Neon or the Starling Marte signed baseball online. We posted the Google Form link on our Twitter. So if you go there, you can find the Google Form link. If you are not on Twitter or are otherwise having trouble finding it, reach out to us by email. We can get you the link to the Google form. Just shoot one of us a message. We'll get it to you. If you are having trouble finding that and you can't attend.
And Home Run Applesauce should also have that information.
Yes. And yeah, homerunapplesauce.com. If you go there, the Brian put up a post about Dollars for Dingers that should have the link to that Google form. So if you are unable to attend in person, as we know, many of our community are not local to New York, including me. I am making the journey, but not everyone can.
I expect nothing less from all of our British fans.
Yeah,
you know, I'm talking to you. Same day flights are supposed to be cheaper than the regular kind. So
let's go. It's red eye on over.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we know not everyone can make it in person, so we try to give folks at least a little bit of an opportunity to purchase raffle tickets online, and that's the same deadline. We will not be processing purchases for online raffle tickets the day of the event. So 11:59 p.m. on Friday night.
All these prize packs are not going to artfully arrange themselves.
No.
Exactly. Nor label themselves, and the tickets won't sell or distribute themselves.
If they could, that would be amazing.
That'd be great. Someone invent that technology. Thank you.
The downside would be that Alice and Linda and I would drink way too much.
Yeah.
Like people always buying us beers all night instead of like in between those beers doing a whole lot of work.
Exactly. I think I drank 0.5 beers last.
Yes, the busier and not, we like, are, out the of less choice. I think I drank. Did I have a whole beer last time? I think I did have a whole beer, but
yeah, like that was.
I don't drink beer, so I think I had one cocktail.
I mean, like, there was no quiet year, and I'm just saying the year that it was pretty quiet is also the year where all the pictures of me, I have like my face is like super shiny and my smile is like tearing off the screen. It's yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, that was same. The year that it wasn't at City, though.
Yes. And I think somebody, and I'm not casting any blame, but somebody bought us shots.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think that's what did it.
Yep. No, that was at City. That was at McKellar.
No, but I feel like somebody did when it was at Catch, was, too.
Yeah, no, I think that was the one.
Yeah, it was definitely Catch, yeah.
Okay. I think the time I was the most drunk was McKellar the first year. But, yeah. Anyway.
But you see, the more money we raise, the less Linda Allison and I have time to drink. So
exactly.
Buy lots of tickets, give us lots of money, don't buy us shots, buy us tickets.
Yeah, yeah, spend your money elsewhere.
The money that you want to spend on buying us drinks, please, please, please just spend that on raffle tickets. We would prefer that.
Although we do have to buy you at least one congratulations engagement drink, though.
Oh, okay, okay.
If but we'll insist. Be classy and we'll make it like Prosecco or something.
Yes, yes.
You insist.
Or like wine or something, you know.
Going up to the front at Ebbs, do you have Prosecco?
Something. Give me your finest.
We have the champagne of beers.
So yeah, we would love to see you all there. Point being, obviously, we have the online raffle tickets, and that's great for the folks that can't make it. But obviously, there's access to way more prizes if you show up in person on Saturday at 4 p.m. at Ebbs at City Field. There will be food and drink specials 20% off for Dollars for Dingers.
They're giving us 20?
20%.
Come again?
That
that's
like- is... Pete Alonso
special,
year.
That is.
Yes, 20% off food and alcohol if you mention Dollars for Dingers at Ebbs. So if that's not enough to get you in the door, the prizes should be. Come on.
And with all the money you're saving, you have more money to spend on prizes.
Exactly, exactly.
So no excuses,
if
really.
If nothing else, just come and say hi. Exactly. There's no door charge to get in. You can take a look at what's around. You know, we have things timed so that, you know, we'll do the drawings at 6. Everyone will have time to get into the game. We'll be able to get in touch with you if you don't want to stick around, but you still want to enter a raffle. We basically make it really, really easy.
Yep.
That is like, that is all. We sit around here. We're like, how can we make this incredibly easy? Yep. And I think we're not good with that.
If you win a prize and you don't want to lug it around at the stadium because you're going to the game, like Ebbs is so lovely to us that they let us keep the prizes there. And Brian, saint that he is, leaves the game in the 7th inning, although that's less saintly than it has been in previous years. Usually it's like I volunteer as tribute. This year he might be getting off off it easy by leaving in the 7th inning. We'll see. To wait for folks at Ebbs after the game to collect prizes if you want to leave it there. But luckily, to loop things back around to a thing we talk about frequently on this show, luckily, Citi Field has one of the better bag policies of any MLB stadium these days. Most of our prizes are you can carry them in like a tote bag. I don't want to like, I don't want to promise that because I'm trying to like run through the prizes quick in my head. But I think like at least 90% of them you can carry.
And I'll say what I have in my pile of things to go is a whole bunch of unused Target reusable tote bags. If you can kind of visualize the like standard issue Target reusable bag. And I mean, I think almost everything will fit in there.
Yeah. So,
So that's about the size we're talking.
Yeah, exactly. So 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturday at Ebbs for the game. We will do the drawing at six before the game starts to give you plenty of time to get into the stadium. So, yeah, please come. Please come say hi to us. We love just hanging out with folks. No matter how much money we raise, obviously, we would love to raise a lot of money. But we also love just hanging out with people and getting to meet all of the folks that make this podcast possible with their support, both monetarily and, you know, by supporting us by listening every week. So we're deeply appreciative of you all. And we're so excited because this event not only serves to further a cause we care deeply, deeply about on this show, but it's also just like our yearly opportunity to say thank you to everyone who helps make this podcast what it is. So yeah, we're really excited. We can't wait to see you all.
And the weather's looking okay so far. Yeah. So
we had a momentary freak out when the weather temporarily showed rain and we were like, no, we just simply refuse to accept this.
When I joined the conversation after the initial, the freak out had started and I just heard there was a freak out. And so I went to look at the weather and I saw that it was going to rain nonstop the entire weekend, 100%. And I spent about 15 minutes thinking like, oh God, this is absolutely going to be canceled. And then I realized I was looking at the wrong weekend of weather.
Yeah,
I was like, why are we even having a debate about this? Like, oh my God, it's absolutely ruined. No, no, wrong weekend. Calendars. Tricky.
Very hard. So yeah, no, hopefully it won't rain.
Hopefully we picked a good weekend. Yeah, we didn't pick this weekend. Yeah, but they weren't home.
They weren't home.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it.
Baseball gods watching out for us as always.
Indeed. So the news of wider baseball this week, the thing that is kind of most prominent right now, I feel like, is the like I don't want to call it a battle, but the debate over whether MLB's antitrust exemption should stay in place has made it to the Supreme Court. And it, I think we've talked about this previously on the podcast, but this this stems from baseball teams that were like that were excised from the minor leagues by Major League Baseball, suing Major League Baseball. And so now it essentially boils down to their antitrust exemption ends up being the core issue here and whether the antitrust exemption is going to be upheld, in which case the minor league teams would lose. But if the minor league teams win, then it essentially like undoes their antitrust exemption. I'm not a lawyer, as as is abundantly obvious by the way I'm talking about this. But yeah, it's a really, really important case that we're watching closely. And this is a really weird, and you know, we don't out and out talk about politics on this show all that often. We talk about social justice issues, which inevitably touches politics because everything is political, obviously.
The politics on this, though. Oh, boy.
Fascinating. Yeah,
very
it's
weird.
A weird one.
It is a weird one.
This is one of those odd instances where the far right and the far left kind of agree on something, and it's the folks in the middle who don't agree.
For speaker, they don't agree on
the why.
Yeah, it's like, we don't think that there should be antitrust exemption for MLB because that is inherently unfair to small businesses and up-and-coming workers. It doesn't give the opportunity versus I don't think they should have an antitrust exemption because they're woke.
Because they're too woke, yeah.
Those are the two arguments. It's either because like it's, you know, anti-competitive, anti-worker, whatever you want to call it, or woke. Take your pick.
Yep. And I mean, there are also a small minority of those on the right who just don't like prefer small government in general, and so like kind of are on the same side here, but yeah. It is mostly just we don't like MLB because they're woke because they moved the All-Star game out of Georgia or that one time. and then Bernie Sanders also very very
leading the charge
anti the antitrust exemption. Bernie Sanders famously on like, you know, still showing up in viral videos because he can like catch a baseball still with like pretty you know swift.
That was like a line drive right at
yes
him.
Yes, in the backyard.
I'm just saying, if you need a ringer from the United States Senate, that's the only person I'm going to. It's the only one who has recently demonstrated basic baseball skills.
Exactly. So we have photo evidence.
Yeah, so it's unclear, obviously. You know, the Supreme Court always keeps things pretty close to their chest. But,
speaking of weird stuff.
Yeah. But there is some like evidence that they might be successful in this lawsuit. There is some evidence that some of the justices are willing to overturn. Evan Drellich had tweeted that Jim Quinn said three justices, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. That's a group of names. Have strongly indicated that if the right case got in front of them, they would overturn the baseball exemption. So we have at least like three justices on the record who are against the antitrust exemption who would be willing to overturn it. So unclear how the other justices on the bench feel about this, but there is like you can foresee a coalition that would exist that could overturn the antitrust exemption.
So it seems like there's at least momentum in that direction.
Yes. More momentum than
or at least more than in the past.
Yes, yeah.
I still don't think it's going to happen because most of the time people don't really like change, and especially they don't like change when it means that their friends don't have as much money as they did before. And so, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, class solidarity is going to win this one out.
Yeah,
but probably. We will see.
And just trusting this government to do the right thing is always a fool's errand.
I even feel like there's a right thing even here. It's just like, are they going to turn over the boat because they can? You never know. I mean, that's like, we are in that era of
true.
The United States is like turning over boats because we can. But it's definitely, no one will be happy.
Yeah. You know, the court did rule against NCAA in another prominent antitrust case like 2 years ago. So it's kind of like the environment, if there ever was a right, air quotes, right one for this, then it's now. So yeah, I mean, I do want to be clear on the details of this in case we have, you know, folks who are knee deep in this in the details. There are two teams, two of the minor league teams that are part of this lawsuit. There were initially four teams, but two of the four minor league teams that were cut when Major League Baseball culled the minor league system by 40 teams. Four of those teams sued. Two of them reached settlements with Major League Baseball. So this is the two that are remaining. Which one of them is the Staten Island Yankees, and the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes is the other one. Or no, those are the two that reached settlements. I apologize. The two that are still in the lawsuit are the Tri-City Valley Cats and the Norwich Sea Unicorns. Sea Unicorns, amazing.
Oh my God. I just the Sea Unicorns, man.
Yeah, I just love that it's the Sea Unicorns.
I just love that that has to be in court documents.
I was going
to
say, that's going to be official.
Them. Yeah. Obsessed with that.
Love it. Go see unicorns. We're big sea unicorn fans here.
So, you know, like, obviously we've been here before. MLB's antitrust exemption has been challenged multiple times before in the courts and has always failed. But it seems like, you know, even if there still isn't a good chance that it will be overturned this time, it's the best chance that they've had yet of it happening. So we shall see. Yeah, it would be like the one good thing this court has done.
Except I don't even know that it would be, because I feel like there would again be something in place that would end up like actually preserving the system of power.
Yeah.
And just sort of like,
yeah,
as a little like switch to remind you, like, don't have Pride Nights. Don't move All-Star games if we don't tell you. Like, I don't know. Yeah. That's the part of me that is just like, I don't think anything good would actually happen.
Yeah.
But then again, I think that about a lot of things, so.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Speaking of the league and, you know, owners therein making fools of themselves all the time, we have another entry in the I took a form of a 45-year-old white man for a reason I can only fail up segment. This week is once again John Fisher, owner of the Oakland
Really
Athletics.
Amazing work, John Fisher. Just bringing it every week. Keeping on top of that.
Giving us the content.
It's really the entire athletics organization.
Yeah,
time,
that's true.
But I'm just going to blame John. I'm going to choose to personally blame John Fisher for this because, you know, buck stops with him.
And you should.
Yeah. So in case you haven't seen, which it would be, I would be shocked if you haven't seen this, if you are a connoisseur of baseball internet in any form, whether it be social media or just keeping tabs on baseball articles online. But the Oakland Athletics, you know, Miguel Cabrera is on his like big retirement tour, right? The way that many like, you know, super prominent legendary players get kind of a farewell tour when they retire, and teams give them gifts when they when the Tigers, you know, travel there or whatever. The A's gifted Miguel Cabrera, who is a recovering alcoholic, a bottle of wine as a retirement present.
But a cheap bottle of wine,
and it wasn't
too.
Even expensive wine either. Because, like, do the A's realize that people can just look this up? Do
no.
they not, like, get that? Because within, like, 30 seconds of the picture of Miguel Cabrera with the bottle of wine, within 30 seconds of that surfacing online, someone had Googled the brand and
yep.
found it online and how much it costs. It was, like, $90 or something, right?
And their argument was, like, well, it's from Napa Valley. You're not Napa Valley. You're Oakland.
Yeah. What? For now,
yeah.
you gotta find your finest Las Vegas
poker chips.
All those wineries, all those vineyards in Las Vegas, you know, all those things that famously grow in the desert.
But like, that just shows me you put zero thought into it. Like, I really wish I could remember who tweeted it, but I saw a tweet saying that Miguel Cabrera hit his 200th home run in Oakland. Get a picture of it, frame it, everybody sign it, done deal. At least that would
easy.
Mean something.
Easy PR layup.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Miguel Cabrera. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated.
Like, you did zero research into this gift. Zero.
Yes, that's correct.
And of course, like, no matter, it's just the nature of the world we live in these days. But no matter how stupid something is, someone will step up to the plate to defend it, no matter how dumb it is. And this is no exception. John Shea, reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, tweeted, countless outlets and ad aggregators got it wrong with story out of the A's gifting wine bottle to Miguel Cabrera. Zero reporting, just cheap shots from afar. For the record, the actual facts included here in an article he wrote about this. An article he spent time writing about this. By the way, the Orioles gave him a brick, which the brick was from Camden Yards, you doofus. Like, it's not just like a brick they picked up off the street.
Well, because I tweeted that, and I was like, that would be like when David Wright was retiring, they said like Dustin Pedroia just gave him a number, but the number was from the Green Monster. Like, the brick means something.
Right. Like, these retirement gifts are very easy layups. And yes. Like, all you have to do, again, like you said, Linda, is like just frame his 200th home run. That's not an expensive gift either, really.
No, it probably would have been cheaper.
It would have been cheaper than this stupid cheap bottle of wine, but it would have been way more thoughtful. And like, the idea of just giving a recovering alcoholic a bottle of wine, no matter how expensive it is just like...
And it wasn't that expensive. It was like $100, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, look, that's a whole lot more than I spend on my bottles of wine. That's more than I would spend on even like a expensive bottle of wine. But I know people who buy expensive wine, and $100 a bottle is not expensive.
It's just like the utter audacity to ask the Oakland taxpayers for millions of dollars to fund your stadium, and you're giving Miguel Cabrera like a $90 bottle of wine.
I'm sorry, that's indefensible. You wrote a whole ass article defending the indefensible.
Anyone will do, like, someone out there will do it every time. Like, going to bat for literally John Fisher of all people.
Like, you do not, any under circumstances, have to give it to him
ever. Like, John Fisher, the A's, are you kidding?
He's been the number one villain the entire season.
Like, they're literally vacating their city over money.
Yeah, oh my god.
And you're like, it actually isn't that bad, you guys. Come on.
No, it's bad. It's very bad.
It's a horrible look. A horrible look in many ways. So, you know, but on this show, we always want to contrast bad journalism with good journalism. Whenever we can find good journalism, we like to point it out. And in this case, Sam Blum of The Athletic wrote a fantastic, I mean, heartbreaking, but fantastic, piece about Zach Kristofak, who is a 25-year-old Angels prospect, starting pitcher, about his life, and, you know, his road to the big league, or to professional baseball. And the tragic story of his mother who was murdered by his father. It's a terrible tragedy, a horrible story, but just so well told, and the type of stuff that you don't see every day in sports journalism. And Sam Blum has done a fantastic job covering the Angels period, but this story in particular is wonderful. And we've pointed out, you know, the challenges that those who cover the Angels have faced. In one of our other I Took the Form of a 45-Year-Old White Man for a Reason I Can Only Fail Up segments, we have discussed previously how the Angels handle their media coverage, and that includes Sam and their access to the team, but it hasn't stopped Sam from writing fantastic and doing fantastic work. So we just want to shout out that piece, and you should read it, and we will link it in the show notes and the tweets and such.
And I mean, I cried reading it. It really is just an incredible story. And, you know, we're all behind him. We're rooting for him, especially with everything he's had to overcome to even get this far.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. So, yep, we loved that piece, but we will not end the show on a sad note. We will end the show like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I don't really think of one, but I guess just that it's fall, because I'm a basic white girl.
Have you had a pumpkin spice latte yet?
I had it in August. As soon as Duncan released them in August, I've been drinking pumpkin since then.
Good to be honest with yourself and with others.
Yeah, I know who I am. I own it. I am who I am at this point. But, you know, I got all my like fall decorations out. I got my fall candle lit. Plus, I love foxes. So this is like fox season. I've been looking for a fox sweater that I need. I think Loft has one. And I'm waiting for it to go on sale. But I mean, it's been really rainy because this is like perfect running weather because the humidity's finally gone and my hair's not all crazy anymore. So yeah, I'm just happy that it's fall. And even though that also means baseball is ending, but you know, we're gonna own the good stuff with the pumpkin. I bought pumpkin donuts. The pumpkin donuts are good. You got your apple cider donuts. Like everything's just amazing. There's so many good like fall flavors. It's soup season. I love me a good soup. I got butternut squash soup.
Just gonna pull in some butternut squash. That's how you do it.
Love a good butternut squash. So I'm gonna take fall, even though that also means the season's is almost over. But we still have a week to go. So for now, hopefully it'll stop raining so I can actually enjoy the fall weather.
Right. I was gonna say, like, this past weekend of constant rain aside, it is that window of like near perfect weather right now.
Yes.
I always say that September is my favorite weather month because, like, I am definitely a summer person. Summer is my favorite season, in part because of baseball and mostly because I enjoy warm weather over cold weather. And so my threshold for when it becomes too cold is like pretty low. So like it literally October, I'm like, it's too cold. But September is perfect. And I mean, like, most people agree, even though I love summertime, I agree that 95 and humid is not comfortable, strictly speaking. It is not great. No one likes that. And so I find September weather to be perfect because it's not humid anymore, but it's still warm enough during the day that I can not wear a jacket. And that's my threshold of like what I still consider acceptable. Like I'm fine with wearing like long pants, although I prefer shorts weather, but long pants, fine. But the second I have to put on a jacket, I become less happy about life. So September.
Yes, I do prefer no layers.
Yeah.
Or I guess to be very important clarification, I prefer one layer. I'm not a like coats person.
Yeah. I don't like coats. I don't like sleeve. Like, I don't like restrictive long sleeves. I don't like restrictive clothing in general. So I just prefer like to wear my t-shirt and my jeans and be good. So yeah.
Now, is this just a me problem? Because I was complaining about it with my boyfriend and he was saying, it sounds like that's just a you problem because I wear like a heavy coat in the winter. But then when I take the coat off in the summer, I feel like I have to adjust my seat in the car because I had to give myself more room for the coat in the winter. Does that happen to anybody else?
I never thought about that before because I don't like really, I don't know. I don't drive that often these days. So
like, I hate that adjustment because when I have to move this seat when I wear my big coat, then I go from like no coat to coat.
That's funny. I can imagine that being a problem, but like I've never experienced it myself. But I can see it. That's very funny.
I guess it's just a me problem. I don't know.
Yeah. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
For my walk-off win, I wanted to give a big shout out to our Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Heck yeah.
Who are killing it in the playoffs, starting in the league finals tonight. I don't know if that game is over. I think it is over. I probably should have found out what happened in that game.
I know Drew Gilbert had a big home run to tie the game at 6, and that was the last update I saw.
Why does search? I just like Googled Rumble Pony score and it just didn't answer me. So they lost tonight, but that's okay. Because it's just the very start of the series. They got a lot of excitement ahead of them. It's such a great group. It's you know, whenever it's minor leagues, you know, coming from kind of the major league side of it, it's easy to sort of get a little biased when it comes to just like, oh, that's a prospect whose name I know, you know, as opposed to like the large population of incredibly hardworking minor leaguers who are there all the time. But now I feel like we've got the perfect combination of, you know, recognizable prospects and also just really solid career minor leaguers who've been with Binghamton for a while. It's just a great team, and they had a wonderful season. They are going to win the league championships, even if the first game did not go as we had planned. And it's just, when there's been not a lot of positive outcomes for the Mets, it's nice to get to watch someone kind of Mets adjacent doing some fun stuff. So I would say definitely take the chance to watch the game tomorrow, for example, to just enjoy what playoff baseball looks like. It might be a while.
Yeah, it's nice because, like, you know, you, if the Mets won't make the playoffs, then we have the next best thing, I guess.
Yeah, at least we have some playoffs in some form.
Yeah. So congrats to the Rumble Ponies. You know, the that makes our signed baseballs that we have all the more valuable, because these are, you know, playoff participating players, you guys.
Some of them will even be Mets as early as next year or the year after. So yeah.
Exactly. Got to get in on the ground floor and say that you had a signed baseball before these guys were like big stars.
From the you can say, yeah, I got an Acuna signed ball from the more successful Acuna.
Yeah.
That one. Like, oh yeah, I forgot Luis Angel's brother was really successful. Here, good for him.
Yeah, he plays baseball too. I forgot about that. Oh, how cute. What a nice family.
Cute.
As he accomplishes a 40-40 season.
I did just throw in that he had an MVP season.
Yeah.
Hate for casual. Acuna, but, you know. Casual. But our Acuna.
Yeah. So my walk-off win for this week is that we have a new kitten. Her name is Orange, and she's so cute. So now our family is finally complete. We have Blue and Orange, and we're just so happy about it. I'm so happy. Blue and Orange have not really interacted yet. They've seen each other from behind a gate. That's the stage that we're at. We're at stage two of introducing them to each other. Stage one was Orange being confined to the hallway bathroom, and Blue just like sniffing at the closed door. Stage two was they can see each other, but there's still a gate in the way. Stage three is let Orange out, and Blue has to be on a leash, and hopefully she doesn't chase her. And then stage four will be they coexist happily. Hopefully we get to stage four.
You will.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot of work, but the payoff will be worth it.
Exactly. Blue is very well behaved when she saw Orange being heavily bribed with hot dogs. So
I can also be bribed with hot dogs if it comes up.
Exactly. She's a true baseball dog. She's earned her baseball name. She loves hot dogs.
Good girl.
Yeah.
We stand Blue.
Yeah. So we have Orange and Blue.
How was Orange's first night? Did she cry?
A little bit. I mean, okay. It's mostly just like, you know, she's in the bathroom by herself and I feel really bad. Like, we go visit her frequently, obviously, but like, she doesn't like to be confined in there, but it's for her own safety. She doesn't know that, but it is. But yeah, we know that the situation is temporary, and we visit her a lot. And then, yeah, she cries when we leave.
She doesn't cry like
She cries a little bit, and then usually she settles down. And she seemed to sleep through the night pretty well. Like, she was crying, like, right before we went to bed. But once we were, all sleeping, I think that she calmed down because I didn't hear her. I mean, maybe she was crying and it didn't wake me up, but I think it would because her cries are pretty loud. She can muster a pretty big meow for a tiny little kitten.
I know, they know how to break your heart, man.
They do. With their little cries.
I know, it's so sad. Like, I'm trying to help you.
I thought that Blue would react very strongly to it, but she hasn't. She kind of just like perks up her ears and is like, the heck is that?
Like, where's that coming from? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, you guys hear them this? So yeah, we're really excited. We're really hoping that, you know, I'll take a lot more pictures once they're like, you know, fully introduced to each other and used to each other. And we're really hoping that they'll be buds. But, you know, with a dog and a cat, you never know. The best you can hope for is peaceful coexistence. I'll take that. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we're enjoying our new kitten. And she's the sweetest, sweetest, most affectionate little girl. She's so cute. And it's an orange tabby who's a girl, which is a rarity.
Yeah.
If you're a genetics nerd like me, you know that calico cats are always female because the coat color trait is X-linked and female cats have two X chromosomes and male cats only have one.
This has been genetics with Allison.
Yes. And so orange female cats are rare because orange is the recessive color. And so for male cats, they only need it one time. If they have the orange coat color gene, then they're orange, right? Because it's on their X. But for female cats to be entirely orange, they need two copies of the orange. So it's rarer for a female cat to be all orange, but that's what we have.
Yeah. So then what about my Lucy, who's white with just a little dribbles of orange? What does that mean?
So she probably has one orange. Okay. And then, because the white, so this is like deep genetics with Allison. The white is like another separate gene.
Okay.
It's like not the same gene as the orange. The orange and the black spots on like tortoise shell and calico cats are the same gene, like two different alleles of the same gene, but the white is like a different gene. So that's why you can have calicos, because the patches of orange and the patches of black are dependent on what X chromosome is active in those cells. But then the white is like controlled by the different gene.
Mm.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. Calico cats are like when you teach like genetics in high school, it's like genetics 101 for X-linked traits. It's really cool. Mosaicism.
Okay. Yeah, that's my natty. But then a male calico would have to be a mutation then.
Yeah, like there really aren't male calico cats.
I did see one that was up for adoption, but it's like 99% are
Yeah, girls, they probably have I forget which disorder that's called in humans, Klinefelter. That might be just XY. But there are various like sex chromosome aneuploidies, they call them, which means like you have a different number of sex chromosomes. Like usually you can only be, you know, XX or XY, but there are people who are like XXY, for example. Mm-hmm. And various other like, you know, variations on that. And so if you have a male calico, it's probably XXY.
Oh, okay.
So it has like male sex characteristics, but it has an extra X chromosome.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Very cool.
Yep. And I believe, I'm not an expert in cats. I know more about human genetics than I know about cat genetics, but at least in humans, like those folks are usually not fertile. And so like the male calicos usually can't make more
more male calicos.
Yeah, because otherwise they'd be more numerous probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, usually this, if you have a sex chromosome aneuploidy, that's not like, you can't make viable gametes that way. Anyway, this has been Genetics with Allison. Aren't you glad that you have a baseball podcast hosted by a human geneticist?
Well, I learned about my two kitties.
Yeah, get side lessons about cat genetics. We're very excited about Arcady, and we have blue and orange, and yeah, we're definitely a Mets family. Yeah, so we're very excited about it. So that does it for the show this week. While you are waiting very, very patiently for Dollars for Dingers to arrive on Saturday, you can go to homerunapplesauce.com, check out all of our fantastic pods. You can go to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce to support our work. If you do so before 11:59 p.m. on Friday, you will get an automatic entry into all of our premium raffle prizes. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Just use your favorite app and search Home Run Applesauce. You should find all of our pods right there. You can email the show, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, @HRApplesauce. You can follow this show on social media, @ApodOfTheirOwn, on all of the things, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky, @ApodOfTheirOwn. You can follow each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am @PetitePhD. Where are you, Linda?
@LindaServage.
And you, Maggie?
@Maggie162.
Please rate and review the show if you have a moment on your favorite podcast app. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there's no crying in sports.